I have never been successful with plants or yeast. I end up killing my house plants. And so we moved to a condo so I didn't have to deal with the yard or keeping it weed free. It seems that no matter how much you weed, they can take over anywhere. They have no trouble invading a church parking lot. Weeds, though, weeds can be useful. My dad cooked up the dandelion greens to eat after a day of digging them up from our backyard. Mustard was that kind of weed, invasive but useful. And in Jesus' day, it was considered unclean for planting. Torah forbade intentionally planting it in a field. Like today, no one would go out and intentionally plant dandelions in their yard. The kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. Jesus, that's ridiculous and that's unneighborly. That seems to say that the kingdom, God's reign, is invasive, subversive, and a bit outside the laws of convention. If this is wisdom, then it's not the kind where we nod our heads and conclude that the world, under God's wisdom, is in good hands. This kind makes us really uncomfortable, which is what real wisdom does, because it's only by becoming uncomfortable that we're able to bring about change in our lives, in the world, anywhere. To change the kingdom of this world to conform to the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. God's wisdom, which we, like Solomon, think we want, that we pray for, we actually don't want it. It's a weed in our lives because it'll convince us to work against our own best interests. Now, besides not being good at growing houseplants, I've also discovered I'm not good at growing yeast. I tried making bread the first week of our marriage, and it was such a disaster that I never again tried a yeast recipe. But after watching the Great British Baking Show last year, I thought I'd try again. Nope. Every part of my house was either too hot or too cold for proving. And when I tried to knead it, everything just stuck to my fingers. Yeast needs just the right environment to grow in dough. Unseen, almost like magic. And that makes it also kind of unholy, an unholy invasive plant. Carefully cleaned out of the house by the pious at holy time of Passover. The kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Really, Jesus, a woman brings about the kingdom? Don't you know that Torah teaches that women are substandard? And unholy? Are you telling us that it is holy wisdom that the kingdom of heaven, the reign of God, is facilitated by people that we may not totally approve of? Maybe people that we find ritually unholy? Are you saying the kingdom of heaven may have a corrupting influence in our lives? The way that we're comfortable with living? No wonder Solomon and Jesus's disciples and the people who wrestle with the right thing to do, no wonder we pray for God's wisdom. It's clearly not an easy thing to discern. It takes more wisdom than I've got to always see the presence of the kingdom and God's direction. That's why I take seriously the collective wisdom of this faith community. Jesus warns us that the kingdom may be disguised. He says it comes as a weed, warning us to be careful about what we judge to be undesirable. We aspire to be wise, but we really, warns Jesus, have no idea what the wise position is. Even with our best intentions, we don't know what corrupting or disturbing ideas are going to end up bearing good fruit that'll make a home for the birds or will make warm bread, and which ideas will end up being harmful. That's why we acknowledge the limits of our wisdom and pray for God's Spirit, which we are told helps us in our weakness and prays for us, so that our prayers will align with God's will, even when we don't have the correct understanding or the right words. Yay! You can let go of the anxiety of thinking that you have to make the right judgment. If you mess up, you have God's promise that no charge will be brought against you. What a treasure. So Jesus goes on to say, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. But then you might ask, so Jesus, then what does he do? What does he do next? It's against Torah law to keep it because it really belongs to the original owner of the field. Plus, he no longer has anything else since he spent everything he had in order to buy this field. All he has is the joy of having found it. Likewise, says Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So again, we might ask, now what? He has nothing but this pearl. He can't eat it. He can't shelter in it. All he has is the joy in seeing it, in knowing it. Jesus is telling us that the kingdom is something that you cannot possess for your own use. You can't own the kingdom or claim any rights over it. Whether you stumble on it and accidentally find it, or if you actively search for it, the only thing you can possess when you find it is the joy that knowing the kingdom, knowing Jesus, being in the presence of God, the joy that that brings. The kingdom cannot be possessed or used, only enjoyed. But good news, since it can't be possessed or used up, it can't be lost either. Perhaps this parable also invites us to think of the kingdom from God's perspective, in which we, God's children, are the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, sought by God. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant, like a person looking. The kingdom of heaven is like God coming looking for you. The kingdom of heaven is people sought by God for which God has given everything, everything God has, God's very self, to buy us, to redeem us from the grip that the world has on us. We are God's kingdom and God's great joy. We are God's kingdom and God's great joy. So God makes us heirs of the kingdom and gives us the treasure. And that's why, as God's children, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. So you don't have to be afraid to mess up, to do something that turns out to be unwise. God calls us to rejoice, to be leaven in the world, even if you're no good with yeast. Being leaven means maybe corrupting and changing in tiny, hidden ways what's going on in the world. Changing the world's accepted ways of doing things by questioning it. Because from that unclean process, from that untidy weed, comes abundant good and joy for the world. The Spirit teaches us, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The big, huge treasure is the knowledge that nothing, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not cancer, not winning the lottery, not loving people or mean bosses, not the troubles in the news, nor whatever might happen because of them. Not the forces beyond your control, nor the things that you don't know about. Is there something that you can touch and see and hear and feel? Then no, it can't separate you from the love of God. It's something you can't see or touch or hear or feel. Then also, no, it can't separate you from the love of God. If someone, or if Satan, or the judgmental world, or your own conscience accuses you of not deserving God's love and forgiveness, well, God is both the judge and your defense attorney. You can't lose. That's the treasure given you in your baptism, not found or bought, but given. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.